Oh, here we go. Here we go. Bills Mafia. They're going through tables as we speak. They're going through tables in the parking lots of hotels in the West Shore area and downtown. They're jumping through tables on Raymond James Stadium property. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are looking to just try to clinch the NFC. You got a number one defense in the Buffalo Bills. You got a number one offense led by the GOAT. The GOAT is 32-3 against Bills and Bills Mafia. There's not going to be these horrendous weather conditions like 50-mile-an-hour gusts for all crazy like it was in Buffalo. Mac Jones only threw three passes. Do you think the GOAT is going to play this entire game throwing only three passes? Forget about last week. This is a matchup of two very good teams, well-coached teams. GOAT versus a young Josh Allen, but a really good Bills defense. I'm Rock Riley, and this is Bucks Kickoff. We are well into our season. The Bills need this win. The Buccaneers are feeling pretty good. Owner Joel Glazer was cited two times this week. I was over at one buck, and I even said to Joel, when I saw him, I got a real funny story. I'll tell you about that later on the podcast here with owner Joel Glazer. But when I saw Joel day number two, he walked right by us. I said, Joel, we got a Joel Glazer sighting again. What's the reason? Why are we seeing you out here so much? And he looked over at me and he said, because it's crunch time. And he walked away. Now, I'm not making that up. You never see the Glazers ever. I've seen him twice back to back days. He's out on the field. He's talking to Arians. He's out with Jason Light. He's walking around. He says it's crunch time. So when the owner, who never says anything, says it's crunch time, I like that attitude. I like it. Oh, no, we're 9-3. Oh, we have a four-game lead in the NFC South. No, if we don't win this, we're going to clinch anyway. No. No, they don't have that attitude. I like that. Bucks Kickoff is always brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. The Ford family name, Curry family, has been in business for 60 years. That's a lot longer than the Glazers have owned this bad boy. 60 years. That's why they're trusted. They're located right up the street from Raymond James Stadium on Del Mabry, a quarter of a mile. Go check it out. If you're in the market for a car, whether it be new or used, bought or leased, you go to Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. You go to their showroom. You say, Rock Riley sent me. Sean Sullivan, he's the GM. He's who I want to see. Start there. Beautiful. He is the GOAT of general managers. If it's buying, leasing, or maybe even just you need to get your vehicle serviced and you need to get it done right, you trust Bill Curry Ford. Also, they got a Joe Bucks fan discount. Make sure you tell them you're a Joe Bucks fan. And they have a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Nobody has that. Bill Curry Ford Tampa. Go see him. Be great for a Christmas or a holiday present. All righty. Oh, my A-lister, my rock lister today is none other than the great Martin Automatica. Yes. Martin Grammatica, my buddy. He has a Super Bowl ring. I really wanted to focus on what he's seeing now because he does every Buccaneer game on radio as a color analyst for the Spanish-speaking audience. He and Carlos, and they've been doing it now for a couple of years, so he's seen every Buccaneer game for the last couple of years. He's in the know. What's the difference between his team that won the Super Bowl and was trying to get back, and what is he seeing from this team? So Martin Grammatica will come by here in just a little bit. Automatica. All right. It's a tale of, like I said, great offense, GOAT, very good defense, Bills. Bucks are 5-0 at what used to be called the Den of Depression, Raymond James Stadium. It ain't that anymore. The Buccaneers are 3-0 versus the AFC. They beat the Patriots. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Colts. They're on a three-game winning streak. They got a four-game lead in the NFC South. They can clinch the NFC South with a win in this game and get a little bit of help. They can clinch even if they tie, God forbid, with the Bills. I hate ties. And the Panthers and the Saints and the Vikings all lose and the 49ers lose or tie. Forget about all those scenarios, man. Just play the damn game. What did he used to say? You play to win the game. Forget about the scenarios. All right, let's look a little bit further into this bad boy. Leftwich, offensive coordinator. I like what he's doing. I like what he's mixing it up. Now, I asked Leftwich this week on Wednesday. I said, Coach, all those passes in a row in that series, that first, all you were doing was passing. Was that because that's what you saw going in, or was it a feel of like, you know what, this is working, let's keep it going? And he said, yes. And that was it. Everybody laughed. And I said, all right, well, what's the game plan for this one going in? And he goes, I knew that question was coming. And then he didn't answer, which I didn't expect him to do. But it gave a laugh. But you know what? I like that. They're mixing it up. They mixed it up. You got to do that in the NFL. Yeah, you go with your strengths, but you got to mix it up. And I think he's doing a good job. All right, the Buccaneers passing. And the GOAT, by the way, is 32-3 against the Bills. All right, the Bucs are number one in the NFL in passing per yards per game, 311. Brady is number one in the NFL in completions. Brady is number one in passing yards in the NFL. The GOAT is number one in passing touchdowns in the NFL. The GOAT is number one in passing on first down. How about that? Now, we go over to the other side, the Bills. Bills defense. Leslie Frazier is their defensive coordinator. He's well-respected. He was actually here with the Buccaneers. It was a distant memory, and they weren't very good at the time. But he is well-known. He was saying this week, he's like, everybody says the same thing when these coaches do these interviews that are going to face Brady. He's like, he's getting better. He's actually gotten better. And with his arm strength, it's amazing. Everybody says that. I've been watching every practice. I watched him warm up Wednesday, and then it was Thursday. He runs out, and I'm telling you, when he warms up, he throws it so on a line. He has not, the Father Time has not come calling yet with the arm strength, and he keeps himself limber and all the stuff that he does. I haven't seen it yet. I tell you, because when I used to go to the practices with Brad Johnson, the year that they won the Super Bowl, he was a wounded duck. And I mean, he got it done, but I would tell you he didn't have the arm strength. The GOAT has the arm strength. This is no homerism. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. And I will do my segment, What I've Been Seeing This Week at One Buck Place. Stick around for that. Joel Glazer, who looks, I think he's on the TB12 diet. I'm not kidding you. He looks better now than he did 20 years ago. Anyway, Bills passing defense, number one in the NFL. They're giving up the fewest passing yards per game. They're only giving up 165 a game. They're also number one in the NFL in giving up the fewest passing touchdowns at 8. The Bucs are the number one scoring team in the NFL. The Bills, led by Josh Allen, they're the number six scoring team in the NFL. The Bills are the number one top-rated defense in the league, and that's their deal. The Bills have not beaten the Brady under head coach Sean McDermott in 6 games. I know McDermott and the team was frustrated after that deal with Mac Jones and the Patriots only throwing the 3 passes. But you know what? That was a ridiculous weather condition type of game. It was so windy. I saw footage of one of the kickers pregame on, it looked like maybe a 35-yard field goal. He booted it up in the air, and that thing went over like a Phil Negro knuckleball over to the right, and it didn't even go like 20 yards. I mean, it's hard to judge. You're not going to get that in this game. You got a beautiful surface at Raymond James Stadium. It hasn't been used now, like sometimes during the season when USF college games, then the next day. Nah, this grass, the surface is going to be fast and beautiful, and it's a sellout, and all these Buffalo Bills fans, Bills Mafia is here. Oh, my God. Let's go Buccaneers D, and I'll go more in detail on the matchups in a little bit. But Bucs D versus the Bills offense. Let's do that now, all right? Buccaneers defense. We all know they're number one in the league in stopping the run. They're giving up 84 yards per game. Josh Allen on the other side. He is 8th best in the NFL in passing yards per game. He's putting up about 257 average. Josh Allen is number four in the league with passing touchdowns. He's got 26. Josh Allen is tied for number five in passes of at least 20 yards, 41. And here's the other thing, too. The Buffalo Bills, when I'm looking at their games now and I was studying this week, they do a good job of protecting Josh Allen. Now, again, a lot of that is because Josh Allen is not sticking in that pocket. It breaks down, boom, he takes off and he's out and he's good on the run. So that also helps the offensive line. He's not going to just stand there, and if it's coming in, he's going to take the sack. Meanwhile, let's go back to that Buccaneer defense. They're number one against the run. They're number 20 in their passing defense. They allow about 250 passing per game. Now, the Buccaneers defense with sacks, they're starting to come on now. And I think it's a double. There's a reason why. You got your Shaq Barrett. You got your Vita Vea. You got your Ndamukong Suh inside. But it's on the outside. Tryon Soyinka. He is fast. He uses his speed. And he's strong as hell. He's only going to get better. But anyway, he's getting there. And he's learning. And Anthony Nelson has been coming on. And how about Cam Gill? You see that sack last week? So they're bringing that from the outside. You got the beast inside. That's why they're sacks. 15 sacks last four games. They will not have Jordan Whitehead, their thumper. That hurts. Mike Edwards, he suspended two more games. Richard Sherman trained at safety. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, he hasn't played safety. His entire career is a corner. And Russ Cockrell at safety. Russ Cockrell is a decent plug-in. He gives you his all, but physically, his limitations, athletically, I should say. So we'll see. All right, why don't I bring in my rock lister? The one, the only, the... He could still kick today. He tells me that he could go out there and he could kick a field goal. He'd kick a 45, 50-yarder one time, but then everything would go to, he'd be strained muscle and that's it. But like I say, he's doing the Bucs game on Spanish radio with his partner Carlos, so he does every game, he sees every game, and without further ado, let's hear what Martin, my rock lister, has to say. Oh my God, the greatest kicker in Buccaneer history. Yes! No doubt about it, Automatica. The great Martin Gramatica. Martin, what's happening?
What's up, Rock? How you doing, man?
Good to see you. I'm doing good, man. So, listen, you do the games in Spanish, so you see all the games. You did it last year. You did the Super Bowl. Anything standing out to you so far this season? Is it pretty much what you thought, or are you a little bit surprised?
Well, I'm kind of surprised with all the injuries, you know, and I think that's what's really hurt the team, you know, because we played really good football at times, and then other times where, you know, and I understand what Bruce Arians says, you know, the next man up mentality, because every coach has that. We had it when we played, but there's a reason why you have a starter and a backup. So when your starter goes down, the backup, even though it's a next man up, at times they're not as good as your starter. So I think we're feeling that a little bit, but the guys are stepping up. So hopefully when we get everybody back, we should be good.
Now, if you look at it, okay, all 22 starters are back, same coaching staff, same system, but Arians and even the GOAT had said, like, it's a different year. So you would think with everybody back that they would be, you know, winning every game.
Well, I think our fans thought when we signed everybody back, we were automatically, you know, back-to-back champs, and it doesn't work like that. You have to play again. And the thing is, when you're the champ, everybody, you're the target now. So everybody's going to play a little bit harder. Anytime anybody plays the Bucs, it's their Super Bowl now. They're beating the champions. So you're going to get everybody's best. So, yeah, just because you signed everybody, you have the same coach, you have the GOAT, doesn't mean it's guaranteed. But, you know, when you do have the GOAT, though, all I say is just make it to the playoffs, and then he'll figure it out from there.
That's a good point, Martin. Well, can you remember back after you guys won it, and then, you know, you won your first game, and it was in Philly, and you didn't even end up making the playoffs. Why? What do you think? Why is that, and are you seeing any similarities with this team?
No, I think this team, with Bruce Arians, but with Brady's experience, he knows how to repeat or how to go back-to-back. He's been to plenty of Super Bowls where our team was the first time that we all have you know, went to the Super Bowl for the first time. We never had anybody that won a Super Bowl in that group. So, you know, it was really fresh for us. And I think it was, in my opinion, what hurt us was that trip to Japan. When we came back, I don't know if everybody felt right. And I think from there, everything kind of just fell apart.
All right, last but not least, you think that if they can get to the playoffs, they're talented enough that they could make a run?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I don't know if anybody ever expected the Bucks to win last year, because they thought the second year was going to be the easier year because of Brady, knowing the system, knowing his teammates, being in Tampa. And we did it without any preseason. I mean, it was, you know, we talked about that. You know, it was impressive what they did. Now with everything where we can practice together, you know each other. So that's what I feel like. As long as we got to make the playoffs. Once you're in the playoffs, then, you know, Brady knows how to handle that one game playoff game. You know, so I don't. There's no doubt that you make the playoffs, you're going to make a run.
Hey, for our Spanish speaking friends, or you may know somebody that Spanish might not even know, give yourself a plug and where we can hear you do the games, Martin.
Right. Well, they can hear on Caliente 96.1 or the app. There's an app for Caliente, and that's the best way to hear it. Carlos and I, we love doing the games in Spanish. And if you're at the stadium, you'll hear it every third quarter, because they pump it up pretty loud, and Carlos gets everybody fired up.
He's Automatica, the greatest kicker in Buccaneer history. Thank you, Martin.
Oh, I appreciate it, Rod. Good seeing you again.
Martin, he's a good man. He is a family man first. He really is. He's got his own business. He's a hard worker. I did radio with Martin for a couple of years recently, and so I got to know him. I got to know him pretty good. Santiago, the Gramatica family, they are so tight. I remember when when Martin was playing with the Buccaneers, he roomed with Santiago, who was going to school at USF, University of South Florida Bulls, and a kicker. Here's an NFL player staying with his college brother. They're that tight. Bill Gramatica, remember, he kicked in the league as well. And the three of them, they were always together. Dave Moore was always kidding around. He goes, I always see those three, Bill Gramatica, Martin, Santiago. They're tight. They're tight. But Martin, that's because he's a family man. Their dad was not around, and they became real tight, man. And they've always been tight. And Santiago was there with them. When I see them at Raymond James Stadium at times. So anyway, Martin, thank you. Have a great broadcast in this game, man. And if you're at Raymond James Stadium, I think he said it's the third quarter when they'll play a call or two, a touchdown on the Jumbotron. And it's like, you know, score! And then the fans love it. So have a good broadcast, Martin. All right, this podcast is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford Tampa. No better place to go. When you go to a car dealership, you want to feel like you're getting trust. You know that they're honest and they're hardworking, they're good, and they're going to give you the best deal. That's Bill Curry Ford. Whether it's now, whether it's for the holidays or present, hey, now's a good time, man, before the end of the year. You know, before the 2022s, now is when you can get a good deal. But anyway, go see Sean Sullivan. Plenty of ways to get a hold of the general manager, Sean Sullivan, who is a big buck. He's got a Bucks podcast. He's got a podcast now. He likes the guys up and coming. Yeah, he'll talk Bucks with you, but he'll also talk new, used, getting your vehicle serviced. It's BillCurryFord.com. The showroom is beautiful, located a quarter mile north on Dale Mabry. From Raymond James Stadium. You all know, if you're listening to this podcast, you know where Ray J is. So it's right up the street. Head north on North Dale Mabry. It's on the right. You'll see it. Go in, ask for Sean Sullivan. You can call him. You can email him. You can show up in the showroom. They give a Joe Bucks fan discount. Let them know you're a Bucks fan. And also, they have nationwide lifetime warranty. Nationwide lifetime warranty, new and used vehicles. Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford. What have I been seeing out at One Buck Place this week? Very low key on Wednesday, they had a walkthrough. Now, I asked Arians about, how do you balance it out? You want the team to stay sharp. You also know it's the end of the year. You guys are going to be in the playoffs. You got some veterans, you know. And he goes, well, I might have a walkthrough every Wednesday. I'm not sure yet. But, you know, I want to keep the guys fresh for the playoffs. That's the thing. They don't want to back in. They want to win, But, you know, they have the biggest staff in the NFL. They study all this stuff. They do a good job. And if you notice, do you remember when Arians first got it? Do you remember all the hamstring pulls they were getting? They don't get hamstrings. Have you heard of anybody with hamstrings now? They know their staff. They know what they're doing. So they're doing, even though they've had injuries, that's the game. You know, that's the law of averages. They didn't have any last year, but there's no more hamstring pulls. You don't hear about that much anymore. But anyway, Ali Marpet running. He looks fine too. He's going to be fine. I saw him every day at practice. You wouldn't even know with the oblique. He did say, though, that there are some injuries that you can kind of get through a game and hide. He said the oblique in the trenches, you can't. So he must have gutted that sucker out last week. Big time. But he's had a week. He's going to be okay. He was asked about how they're able to run the football. And I'm telling you, they all say the same thing. When you are running it against an opposing defense, he goes, you are forcing your will. You're demoralizing them. That's what he said. And remember when Richard Sherman showed up here? That first day when Richard Sherman was brought here, he took that red eye from Seattle. And he said just what he had learned in the short time that he was inside talking with the defense. He's like, they take it personally that stopping the run, that number one run defense, that's their thing. So, again, Marpet said they can see it in the eyes of the opposing defense when they're running it well. And it's a beauty to see also how fast Brady gets rid of it. Somebody asked him, he goes, he said, you turn around and the ball's gone. Like he's wait, boom, boom. The O-line is a tight bunch, and it was good to see Ryan Jensen on Friday walk out full pads, no problem. Now they were on the far, far, far field, almost behind these big trees that they've grown so high since when we first opened that facility. Those things are so little, man. But anyway, now I think they like it because they're kind of hiding way far away from us. But anyway, from what I could see, he's doing with the drills and stuff. He looked fine. And we asked Arian. Arian goes, he's a tough guy. I knew he'd be fine. So Ryan Jensen, because Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, he's a good follow. He studies it pretty good. He said this Bucs O-line, and they are a tight bunch. I've noticed that when they come out. Like, they're always busting chops. They're really, really tight. Even Josh Wells, Stinney, Hainsey, the kid, the young guy. And Orlovsky's tweet, I like to give credit where credit is due. He brought this up. The Buccaneers O-line, all five, have played nearly 1,400 snaps together in the last two seasons. That's huge. That is huge. When you are mixing and matching on the offensive line, it starts up front. Everything starts with the base. You're building a home. You can have the finest fixtures, the nicest chandelier. You can have the granite countertop. You can have all this crap. But if your cement, if your floor, if your base is not good, you know, a restaurant, your food has got to taste good. If your food sucks and yet you got the greatest waiters, you got the nicest tablecloths, you got the nicest atmosphere, but if your food sucks, it starts with the line play, offense and defense, man, and it's with the O-line. And they've been playing together as a unit. And Dave Moore, who does the broadcast on 98, he does it on the Buccaneers radio network, the analyst, he was on a Buffalo media outlet. It might have been Buffalo.Bills.com or one of the stations. And I saw where he was saying that, I forget what he was saying about the offensive line. Anyway, let me continue on. That'll come back to me. I like Dave Moore. Dave Moore is good. Anyway, okay, what else was I seeing? Oh, Mike Evans, when he was talking, he was asking about Brady and Brady's person. And he said, you know what he goes? He is very, very cool. Very, very cool. Because Gronk presented Mike Evans on Wednesday. I was there with the Man of the Year award. Evans did not know that Gronk was going to be giving that to him. It was in front of us media geeks because Mike Evans was speaking. Gronk was sitting at a table. This is all outside, waiting to come up. A lot of times they come and get the player, but sometimes the player will be sitting there waiting. And then Gronk came up and he goes, all right, you see too many questions, man. You're talking too long. Hey, I got something for you. Here you are, man of the year. And that was kind of cool. And then Gronk was kidding us because the night before they had flown back in time, he presented Brady with the Sportsman of the Year. And he was like, that might be my new job, you know, presenter. You know, Gronk is always screwing around, but he's also a lot smarter than he comes across. He is there a long time. He studies more than he makes you believe. You think he's just Mr. Fun-loving guy, and he's bigger than you think. All right, anyway, what else have I seen? Oh, Coach Lori Locust was on crutches this week. It was the walking wounded. Now, Arians is on a scooter. He's got a boot on that foot. It's his Achilles. He said he's going to be in it for a month. Rick Stroud of the Times asked him, are you going to be on the sidelines or will you be up in the booth? And Arians looked at him like, I'm on the sidelines. And, you know, he's tough guy. Like, there's not even a question. But he's been on that scooter and on his cart. And the only time I've seen him walk is when he comes to walk off the cart. Nelson, the PR director, drives it right up to us and he walks over. He also gets off the cart to address the team and they huddle up after every practice, but we're not allowed to see that. It's out on the field. That's it. Other than that, he's in this boot. And we can't ask about Lori Locust. Like, how did she coach? She's the assistant D-line coach. She's very nice, very, very, very nice, very knowledgeable. And they can't tell us because there's HIPAA laws. You know, she's not a player. But word to the grapevine is it's an old football injury. She played ladies football. She's a football player. So she's on crutches. So they're the walking wounded for coaches. What else did I see? Oh, you know what I saw on Friday? They mixed it up a little bit. The quarterbacks. Now, I had somebody on social media, once I put one of these videos on my Real Rock Riley on Twitter and on Instagram, if you want to follow me, or Facebook, Rock Riley. And I put on video this, and I had somebody say, what kind of horse shit is this? Like, listen, it's a grind day to day. They have the quarterback competition, and Friday they were down on the far end. They had a big, like, donut. A big, not a donut you can eat, a big round thing with a hole in it. And they had a donut. Sometimes they do it over a screen into a garbage bin. But it was a donut, and then they try to throw it, hit the crossbar, and then they try to throw it over to the netting. And there's two different squares there. And the backups, I've been seeing this all season. And what I've noticed is, like, Brady is a competitor. But Brady is like not so all out for this. The backups really get into this because you know what? They don't get their shot. Brady knock on wood, doesn't come, hasn't, you know, we're not going to say anything. So there, nobody's getting playing time other than the GOAT. So they take it seriously. And you can be doing something else and you will hear like, you know who won the competition. It was Blaine Gabbert. He put both hands, fist up in the air. They were hooting and hollering like he won. It's good. Like, you can't just do the same practice reps. And if you're a backup, you need a little juice, man, during practice. I like that. That's a Clyde Christensen thing, I believe. And I will tell you this. Clyde Christensen is got to be, I know he's in his 60s. I think he's mid-60s. He threw some passes into that net with zip. I've never seen him throw. He's got a cannon, Clyde Christensen. And I was like, damn. I always like to see the older guy do good. Maybe because I'm older. All right, what else am I seeing? I saw Playoff Lenny getting one-on-one instruction from one of the coaches doing a number of different routes. Now, I don't want to give away what the routes are, but I can tell you that he is definitely a three-down back. He is going to be used in the passing game in this game, unless Buffalo takes it away early. But watch out for that. That's a tip. You're going to see him out of the backfield. There's a certain route that he runs. He goes another direction. There's another one where he split out, and I won't tell you which way he comes. You're going to see playoff Lenny using his hands out of the backfield, I would assume. And it was one-on-one. All season I haven't seen that. Now, here's my little funny story to liven this damn thing up a little bit. So like I said, I never see the Glaziers, ever. They are the total opposite of the Dallas Cowboys owner. You know what I'm saying? He loves the camera. Hell, I think he's got a weekly segment on a Dallas radio station. But you never see the Glaziers. So we were waiting to get tested on Wednesday. You get tested once a week in the media trailer. Not the media trailer, the same trailer that the players get tested in. You wait, they tap a cart, they take us over. Sometimes when there was a big bunch like there was on Wednesday, we all walk over. And so we were waiting there. And Joel Glaziers drives right by us. We're waiting out front. And he goes into the area where they have, that's where the owners park. And there's a gate there. There's a gate to get in, the big black gate to get in to One Buck. And then there's another gate to get into this little section. Sometimes there's footballs there because the kickers, the field, they're right near the goalpost on the other side of the fence. And there was a football right in the storm drain. But anyway, and he was trying to go through. And I'm looking. I'm like, oh, that's Joel's. Hey, Joel. And boom. And he said something. And I said, what'd you say? He goes, I'm locked out. And he just laughed. And then he tried again. And the gate wasn't working. And so we're just, you know, mine. And then we're just talking amongst ourselves. And I'm noticing. And he backs out. And he drives over to the guard gate. And he said something to them like, hey, man, there's something, you know, open that gate. You got to get in. Got to work. And he drives over and he goes to it again. And we just started walking to go get our COVID test and he didn't get in. And then it was funny because I looked back and he parked where every employee parks. And then I saw him go in the front door. Well, we go get the COVID test is so fast. You go in there, they know us by name. They got our chart. Boom, boom, one nostril, the two nostril, boom, you're gone, boom, boom. So it's really fast. By the time I was walking back, there were already two workers working on that gate. It's nice when you are the owner. You're going to get things done. However, for the next 2 days, I noticed that gate was open. Maybe there was something wrong, but it was kind of funny. And then I see Joel the next day, and that's when I said, hey, Joel, we're seeing you twice. What's the deal? And he goes, it's crunch time. But he looks like he's taking he looks better now than he ever did, man. He looks like he's in a good shape. So there you go. That's a little funny story on it. All right, should we get into some matchups? I think it's time for a little matchup action, don't you? I do. The big matchup, well, the one that I want to see is Stephon Diggs. He's their guy. He's talented. You can't let him get off. Now, his numbers are not quite to the level that he had last year, but he is still damn good. I believe that cornerback Carlton Davis, most likely, I'm assuming he's going to be on Stephon Diggs. Now, he was decent last week. He was coming off a quad in that game against the Falcons. That's a matchup, because there's no way. Nobody's 100% at this time, but keep an eye on that one. The Bucs front four. All right. Most of the time, Todd Bowles employs a man-to-man base coverage. But if you've noticed, and you notice closely, he knows your football, they're playing a little bit more zone lately. And going up against Josh Allen, you know, you cannot afford to give Allen time when the Bucs are playing man-to-man. But again, Josh Allen is not going to just sit in that pocket. He's tough to defend. He can get to the outside, okay? And like I mentioned, with playoff Lenny, here's a stat. Now, I didn't realize this. I know that the GOAT's been using him more out of the backfield. That's been obvious, okay? Do you know that Lombardi Lenny leads all NFL running backs in catches? Did you know that? With 58? He's number one of any running back in the NFL. How about that? So, and with him getting that personalized instruction this week, just one-on-one and route running, be prepared to see more of that. That's going to be on the Bills' D, their linebackers. You know what I'm saying? He's a three-down back. The biggest thing, you know, it's going to come down to, and I know, man, this is a broken record, but it's the takeaways, the giveaway, the takeaways, winning the takeaway margin. The Bucs are number four in all of the NFL in takeaways. The Bills are number two in the NFL in takeaways. I mean, when you win that battle, the Bucs are 6-0 when they have more than one takeaway, and it's the same thing with the Buffalo Bills. They're 6-0 when they have more than one takeaway. The Bucs are the best damn team in the NFL when you get in the red zone, and the Bucs are also number one in possessions and touchdowns just in that red zone. The GOAT, when they're in the red zone, the Bucs are the best. Well, guess what? The Bills' defense, they've allowed the fourth fewest red zone possessions. They're tied for third in allowing red zone touchdowns. So the Buffalo Bills are very, very good when opponents get in the red zone. So, you know, there's that. So I don't know how much, you know, I was going to, you know, that, like I say, when I was watching that Monday night game, it was, you can't, don't take too much from that, because it was, you saw the conditions. I mean, when it's gusting at 50 miles an hour. So I follow Pat McAfee. Congratulations to Pat McAfee, the former Indianapolis Colt. If you don't know, he's got a show and with his buddies, and they're very entertaining, and they work hard, because every time there is a story that breaks in the NFL, I get the notification. They're already discussing it. I don't know how that. Are they living all together? Jesus. They did live together here in Tampa. Did you know they were living on Davis Island? Did you know that? For a couple of days a week? Because he was doing WWE and the WWE and wrestling. For you wrestling fans, you know that they were at Tropicana Field. Then they moved to the Sundome. They were renting an unbelievable house in Davis Islands. I wish I knew where it was. But I wouldn't, it was during the heavy with the COVID, I wouldn't. But I actually reached out to his person, and that person got, I wanted to get him on the podcast, and my other podcast. I got a podcast called The Rock Stops Here. Anybody that's made it, how do they make it to the top? Whether it's entertainment, sports, athletics, whatever. And I was trying to get, because I'm a big fan of McAfee and what he does. And he also gives back a lot of that money. He just made it $35 million. $30 million, something like that. $30 million a year. Yeah. And his representative got back to me and he said, you know what? He would like to, but because he is tested as soon as he gets to Tampa by Vince McMahon and the WWE, and they stay in the house, he can't see anybody or whatever. I said, okay, but at least he got back to me. And I mean, but anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up, he has Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers on every week because Adam Hawk, who played in the NFL, is real tight with Aaron Rodgers, so they know each other. He feels comfortable on that show, so he goes on every week. And McAfee asked Aaron Rodgers, what do you think? What, number one, what did you think when you were watching that game in Buffalo? And I know you play in Lambeau, so you played in some bad weather games. And number two, can you ever imagine yourself playing, only throwing three passes? And Aaron Rodgers said, I don't think there would be a need for that. And they all laughed. But he also said, man, that he thought that Josh Allen did a good job in that game. And when you have weather conditions like that, he remembers a game in 2007. He was on the sidelines, said, thank God that he was. He was watching from the sidelines. There was a pass thrown. It was past the intended receiver, right to the defender, Pina Tillman. They were playing the Bears. And he said, It was like a Necro knuckleball. It didn't even get close to him. Like, you just can't. So don't take too much from that game in last week. But if, you know, so do I really want to go back into last week's games? I mean, I took all my notes. You saw, I'm sure if you're a Bucks fan, I know you saw what they did to the Falcons. Gronk is just, boy, oh boy. And they just have their, they have it down. Brady with the four tutties, the one interception for the touchdown where Marlon Davidson, the defensive lineman, picked off a screen pass. That's very unusual. And taking it to the house. Brady didn't see him. Brady did not see him. He passed for the first 13 plays of that game. The 75-yard touchdown drive on the opening possession. The Falcons scored their only offensive touchdown on their first drive, and that was it. Fournette with the touchdown, that one-handed catch. Like I say, playoff Lenny. Where'd these hands come from, Lenny? Whatever you're doing. Godwin with the franchise record, the 143 yards, I think it was. Cam Brate with the touchdown pass. Oh, here's something. Glad I wrote that down because I got Anheuser's. I'll forget. We found out that Todd Bowles was yelling his ass off at his defense. We found out from, it was Carlton Davis. And Carlton Davis let it on the bag. He was like, man, I heard him yelling. It was about some about all those runs that they were getting, and I didn't get close to him after that. So Todd Bowles, who hates talking to the media, doesn't say anything. He lit into their asses at halftime. Patterson 39-yard run, Mike Davis 17-yard score. The D held the Falcons scoreless in the second half. Matt Ryan, blah 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 blah. Bills on offense. So the Bills. Oh. How about this one? Now this one viral. Sean McDermott after the game. See, here's the thing. When I was in television, and I would be editing, and I actually did this as a little experiment. I swear to God, when I would talk to players on a Wednesday or a Thursday in their facility compared to talking to a player right after a game, I actually broke it down to the speed of their words, their vocabulary. They would talk faster after a game. You're pumping your adrenaline. I know they have a little bit of a cool down period. That's not enough. I mean, I wouldn't want it to be anymore, you know, but for media to go in, but they just played a freaking NFL game, man. It's their career. It's their livelihood. It was a battle out there. And then you get them on a Wednesday after practice, maybe after a lunch, and it would be much slower. So my point is, When they say something after a game, they still have like emotions. There's shit still running through them. And McDermott was pissed and he was embarrassed. And somebody asked him about Bill Belichick and his coaching. And he said, it's not Bill. Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. Whether it was Bill or anyone else, they beat us. End of quote, and that thing went viral. Now, I just think that it was just the emotions. You know, usually you don't hear a coach like criticize, like, hey, it wasn't Belichick. No, Belichick did a hell of a good job. Belichick's doing an incredible job this year. You know, I know it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful, but I'm not even going there. This is Bucks kickoff, and we break down these matchups, and that's what I like to do. Anything else that stood out? No, like I say, you know what? I think my biggest thing is the overall picture of the Buffalo Bills this year. And I don't know if Daboll, the offensive coordinator, and McDermott really have been totally on the same page. You know, Daboll likes Josh Allen to just, you know, sling it, man. I got a young guy with an arm. I got some good receivers. Let's go. McDermott still likes to run it. He keeps talking about embodying toughness. He says this late in the year. This is what he said this week. It was very interesting. This is Sean McDermott, their head coach. He said, this late in the year, it's hard to fix your weaknesses. That's what training camp is for. You're just trying to survive and get ready and get your players healthy for that Sunday through Wednesday, Thursday to try to change stuff. It's really, really hard to do. Let me end this one. Let me see. Is there anything else? I've got a whole bunch of stuff here, but you know what? Why don't we just wrap this baby up? This is neither the time nor the place. Well, it is the place. It's Bucks Kickoff Podcast, but Brady is asked all year long about when is he thinking about retirement, and he's been giving the same answer. And whether it's, I thought it was really good on his podcast that he does once a week. And I had the clip, I had it on my social media, where he was saying that there's a tremendous amount of pressure on him specifically to win each week, because it's not just like the team. He knows he's at the end of his career, but it's the families of the coaches and the players and even the fans and the whole, there's just so many that rely on a win on a Sunday. And when they win, if you didn't hear it, it was good. He was real honest. He goes, when we win, it's just like, oh, wow, all that work, you know, and wow, we did it, because there's so much on his shoulders. Let's face it. And when I was thinking about it, I was almost going to try to get him. He's not known for takes or anything. He's a national radio reporter. His name is Tom. He's an older gentleman, and he feeds sound and does updates for CBS National Radio, Sirius XM, NFL Radio. He's one of those guys that feeds sound. Every town has him. They just do interviews in basic, and he usually asks basic questions like, what do you plan on doing this week to do better than you did last week? What are you looking to do in this game? Like, just that he just needs to give sound that will be fed to like 200 stations maybe on a feed or things like that. But this week Tom said, when will you know when it's time to hang it up? Will you know, or will somebody have to like tell you that that's it? I was like shocked, and I wanted to ask him. I'll find out for the next podcast. Did somebody on one of the networks tell you they need that sound bite? Because that's not like you, Tom. And Brady was good. He was like, I'm always going to love football and playing football. So that's not going to come in my being. Like, I'm not going to all of a sudden like, wow, this isn't fun anymore, I don't love it. He goes, I'm always going to love it. But there's other things in my life that are coming into play. And then he went on, my kids are growing. They're getting older. I want to be there for them. And he's mentioned that a number of times. Now, I think it was it Rich Eisen? And I know Rich Eisen's got a lot of sources. He's been at NFL Network for a long time. He's got a show, and he was even saying this week he thinks this is it for Brady. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I see what he does at practice. He still loves it, and he's got it. Like, Father Time has not come by, but he keeps bringing this up about his life, where when he said, when I was 25 years old, oh my God, it was just football. But now there's so many other things in life with the family and just things that he's got going on. So there'll be a time and a place, but I'm there and I'm seeing it and I'm hearing it and I'm watching it. So just be prepared. You know, this could be it. If I don't know, but I don't know. But I mean, it's being brought up and he's answering the same thing with all these other things in his life. So I don't know. But you know what? Let's not worry about that now. Let's enjoy this game. It's going to be really, really crazy with Bills Mafia. This is huge. They're down here. They've flown to get away from that wind off the lake and the cold. And they're enjoying the beach, and they're enjoying walking around in shorts, and they're going to be jacked up, and it's a 4:25 start, and they're going to be drinking, they're going to be jumping through tables. The Bucks are just, they're not trying to back in. Joel Glazer said it's crunch time, and it's, there you go. This is Bucks Kickoff, brought to you by, as always, Bill Curry Ford Tampa. Don't forget to always, on away games, party and watch it with the Sage at Big Storm Brewing on 49th Street in Clearwater. It's great to watch a game with the Sage. Keep on supporting JoeBucksFan.com. Best Buccaneer website, man. Numbers prove it out. And I'll talk to you next week for Bucks Kickoff.